excited? Is Christmas almost coming up? Has anybody, let's be honest, let's have honest time, okay? This is church, so has anybody opened your present early? You know, as a kid, I had two brothers, two sisters. We would actually unwrap our presents and wrap them back before my parents could see, but we never could wrap them back just right. Did anybody else do that? Donique, one honest person in the crowd. Matt, you never did that.
I did not. My sister did.
Okay. Did everybody enjoy the snowfall a couple days ago? Did you see that? For about a 5-minute window. And I was joking because I think Felicia put on her Facebook, said, it's snowing. And then there got to be this little debate about whether it was snow or rain. So I was so excited because when you have a 3-year-old son, you're thinking, this is historical. He's never seen snow. I was about ready to get him out of bed. I got Julie over to my office. We live right across from AB and Amro. So we like to look at all the money being made, which we don't have. And I'm looking out the window there, and it was rain. And then there was just a little bit of snow, but I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. Didn't make a snow angel. You guys know what snow angels are? We didn't do that. Maybe, who would like to do snow angels with my son when we have enough snow? He'd probably like to do it. Matt would like to support. Okay, I'll call you guys. Hey, today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And hopefully you brought your Bibles. We also have an awesome PowerPoint presentation or Prezi, so you can follow along there if you don't have your Bible. But let me open with a word of prayer. Does that sound good? Lord Jesus, I just thank you today, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, the course of the song that we sang, the last song we sang, that you so love the world, that you gave your only son. Lord, being a father of an only son, I can only imagine what that love means. So God, during this holiday season when it's cheer and decorations and ornaments, Lord, I pray that we don't lose sight of what really is important, and that's that you sent your son so that we could have relationship with you. All we can say today, Lord, is thank you. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. This is the main passage. We're kind of going through the Christmas story. If you haven't heard it, you know, when I moved overseas, I was kind of stupid in a lot of ways. I didn't speak any Dutch, and that was the beginning of my problems. But I would ask people, hey, you know about the Christmas story, right? The Virgin Mary, Jesus. They look at me and go, no. I remember a student at Leiden University from Asia told me, I never heard the Christmas story. Could you tell me? And I had the very awesome privilege of sharing about the birth of Jesus, what a virgin birth was. What an awesome story. So we're going to read that today. Verse 26. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, no thing is impossible with God. Do you believe that this morning? As followers of Jesus and the body of Christ here at Damascus Road, I believe that we should be regularly seeing the impossible happen in our lives, not only as a church, but as individuals. As we're in the middle of the Christmas season, this is a great time to take stock of our lives and see, are we seeing the impossible happen in our lives? You know, last week, Matt talked about the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and Elizabeth. I mean, I don't know about you, but an angel, first of all, that's pretty supernatural. And an elderly couple, do we know how old they were, did you say?
No.
Let's say 75 and 80. That sounds pretty old. No offense if that's you today, but when I'm 80, I'll be glad to say I'm old, okay? I'm 38. I feel old. Pretty supernatural. The Bible is full of impossible things happening. It always makes me laugh when people say, well, I'm not sure that they'll believe most of the Bible, you know, but I'm not sure about Jonah and the whale. You know, I don't know how a big fish could swallow Jonah. I said, are you kidding me? You believe that a virgin can become pregnant? I mean, I don't want to see raised hands here today how many virgins we have in the room. That wouldn't be proper. But you don't get pregnant without having sex. Can we all agree on that usually? So we're talking about impossibility. It doesn't matter if it's a big fish swallowing a man or a virgin becoming pregnant, but God is in the business of doing the impossible. Amen? I remember when Julie got pregnant with Case, you know, it's such a big deal. And you dream of the moment because we were trying. Let me get a little bit of water. For some reason I get dehydrated whenever I preach, so I drink like a gallon of water or a couple liters, I guess you would say here. But you know, you like that? That was refreshing. You know, when Julie got pregnant, we had been trying for almost a year. And so we kind of started to think, man, maybe it's not going to happen. We thought about adoption. And I'll never forget, I think I was checking sports scores, you know, Eredivisie, checking to see if my favorite team won, you know, and I'm typing on the computer. And all of a sudden, this diaper, bam, right down on my desk, bam, right in front of my face with a pregnancy test in the diaper. I'm like, what in the world? You know, I thought this was supposed to be like some romantic thing. You know, she comes running into the room, wind blowing through her hair, embraces me and says, we're expecting a child. You know, and it may sound funny, but at that moment, that was a real miracle for us. You know, if you've heard my story, especially, and you know, I'm born premature. I mean, you look at my whole life, never supposed to walk. And here we're going to have a baby. This was a miraculous moment for us. And I believe that every Christian should spend some time, probably every week, maybe every day, reflecting on what God has done for you. Let me just stop there for a second. Let us think on that. You know, you're going to have a Merry Christmas if you reflect every day on what God has done for you. We have a book here. It's just a black book. But this is a special book. I guard it. It's 24-hour security. No, not really, but under lock and key. But this book, we just called the Book of Miracles. And in this book, when Julie and I got married 6.5 years ago, we talked about the values we wanted for our marriage. And one of the things we wanted to remember was all the great things God has done for us in our lives together, in our adventure together. So we just started writing down. Now, granted, not every miracle in this book is being swallowed by a fish or a big boat with a bunch of animals on it or dead people coming out of the grave. You know, or we'd have an awesome story. But there are some great stories. There's a lot of them. And I wrote down the date, and for the last 6.5 years, and my hope is that at the end of our life, when I'm on my deathbed getting ready to go see Jesus someday, Julie and I can read through these together and say, look what God has done in our lives. We can remember his faithfulness. In this book is the story of an 87-year-old woman from the town of Hillicombe over in the tulip fields. Dear friend of ours, kind of like a Dutch grandma, never married, lived through the wars, was needing a hip surgery. She broke her hip, but she had such a bad heart, she couldn't have surgery. So she was in a tough spot. And my wife, without even telling me, felt impressed of the Lord to fast and pray for her, and God healed her so she could have the surgery. The lady got the hip surgery. She's now walking. I think she's probably in her 90s now, I would think. Got more energy than Julie and I combined. That's in the book of miracles. Remember, you know, when the Bible says remember, it says remember so many times. And remember doesn't just mean like, oh yeah, remember Matt, we went to McDonald's, got a Big Mac. It's not like that. It's consider, give thought to, ponder, to actually think about. What has God done in our lives? There's also the story of Wong. Now, Zipporah, you might know Wong because you're from Leiden. Wong was a Chinese Buddhist who came to our student group our first year. And I'll never forget Wong because, you know, when you have a student Bible study in your house, you don't know who's coming. I mean, I can tell you crazy stories of dangerous people coming, people that wanted to punch me in the face, people that, you know, crazy things. And I remember I was worshiping God, and I think we're singing Light of the World, you know, and I had my hand raised, and I look up, and this Chinese guy, a student, is staring me, like just looking a hole through me, like he has no idea what in the world I'm doing. So we broke up into groups, the men and the women, and so we gave the women the living room, and all we had in Leiden was this area downstairs, which was where you put your bikes, and it was spiders in there, all kinds of creepy things. I remember sitting around in a circle with all these guys, and this guy Wong begins to tell us about how he's been hearing about Jesus and how he grew up a Buddhist. And, you know, you have to understand from an American standpoint, or maybe a Western Christian, you know, Buddhists are hard to come to Christ, you know, on a level of difficulty, you know, that's pretty tough. Osama bin Laden's a little bit tougher, but it's tough to lead a Buddhist to Christ. Oh my gosh. You know what? We might have to have snow angels after the service out here on the lawn. It looks pretty wet, but that's, hey, that's cool. Thank you, Lord. That's kind of a neat thing. Never had that happen during a sermon. But then again, I've never been preaching on the Moss River, so this whole thing's pretty cool. So this guy Wong, to make a short story short. Did I say that right?
Long story short.
I've been speaking Dutch too long. No, I can't blame it on that. Can't blame it on jet lag either. So about 10 minutes after we pray for this guy, another Dutch guy comes up, one of the stoic, kind of quiet Dutch guys, kind of like Paul over here, you know. And he goes, if it was me, I'd come into the room and I'd go, yes, Jesus is Lord. But this guy just comes up and he goes, hey, Steve, Wong came to Christ just now. What? Wong, the Buddhist guy that we were just praying for down in our spider basement? Yeah, he came to Christ? Yeah, he said that he never felt so much love before in his life, and he knew that God was real. And to this day, Wong still serves the Lord. That's incredible. It's in this book. Or when we lived in Groningen, and Matt knows this story, we wanted to start a church in the center of the city. And so I went around. I'm just stupid. I tell people my dreams probably too soon. And one of the main guys named Yoas, I wanted him to translate for me in this church. And so I said, Yoas, we're going to get a building in the center of Groningen, and we're going to hold weekly services for students and as an outreach. And he goes, ha, 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 just like that. And I was like, he goes, you'll never get a building in the center of Groningen. Well, how many know that God has other plans? If God speaks to you, it always comes to pass. My wife was it was kind of a strange story, but she was taking language courses, and they moved to a bar because the building she was in got flooded. This bar, she thought,
this maybe would be a good location for the church. So she asked the janitor, remember, Julie? She just said, hey, would you guys rent this? Oh, sure. 40 euros a week. Center of Groningen. Okay, 40 euros. Now, I know we're not rich here, but 40 euros isn't a lot. And awesome things happen in that. So today, I want to inspire you a little bit. And hopefully, you'll also remember the good things God's done in your life. But also inspire you today and look at how, in the title of my message, I don't remember what it was, how to have faith for the impossible. No better time than during the Christmas season to, whether you've been a Christian a day or for 25 years, to say, Lord, I want you to begin to do the impossible again in my life. The first thing this morning that I think is absolutely critical if you're going to see God do the impossible in your life. And I want to look at Mary's response, okay, to this angel. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favorite woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, can you just think, is that some of you want to be mothers someday, but imagine you're being told that your son is not just going to be named Case, which we think is a cool name, or Junior, another cool name, but this is going to be the Son of God. Okay, no pressure there. And this is Mary's response. Mary asks the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Notice that Mary here, she's not doubting God. She's not saying, ha, 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 no way. We saw what happens when that takes place, didn't we? Last week, Zacharias goes mute. But she's asking for clarification rather than confirmation, okay? Which means she's basically saying, Lord, I hate to break it to you, but women who don't have sex, they don't have babies. You know, it's kind of like, how is this going to happen? How can I cooperate with you? Mary had a simple trust in God. Theologians say that she would have been a teenager, maybe 13 years old. She was from a small, insignificant town of Nazareth. Now, I know, isn't there a town around here called Nazareth? I think that's cool, seeing it on the city bus. I just want to jump on it one day and go see what it's like, you know, imagine. They say that Nazareth may have been only a couple hundred people, okay? Not a big deal. Not New York City Times Square. Not Brussels, head of the EU. And she also would have probably been illiterate, which means she couldn't read or write. It's amazing to me that God would come and honor a young girl that we would see as had no future, but God saw that she had a future. In other words, her faith in God came as a result of her relationship with God and not as a result of her knowledge about God. See, she didn't have an MDiv, a master's degree, a doctorate, and God said, she's a smart one. The genes will be great for my son. Or he didn't say, she's rich. She's on the Forbes 500 most, you know, richest people list. But he came just because he loved Mary. And she had a simple relationship with him. When the angel appears to Mary, it says she was confused and disturbed. Other translations say she feared and wondered. Can you blame her? This is an angel with an unheard of proclamation. A virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. However, she doesn't doubt. A lot of people think that it's wrong to ask questions of God. But really, Mary shows her desire here to serve God, to cooperate with God's will. It probably is wrong to ask questions of God if you're saying, God, I don't want to do that. How could you do that to me? You know, it's okay to ask why sometimes, but you know, asking why of God a lot of times doesn't get you very far. I spent a lot of time in hospital beds growing up asking God, why, Lord, why? Well, I say a lot of times, but they only lasted short periods of time because you know what? I didn't get an answer that I really liked back. God is God. We trust Him. Mary trusted Him. My first point this morning, if you want to see God do the impossible in your life, you have to be in relationship with Him. It's not about knowing all about Him. It's great to know about God. I have a master's degree in theology. That's wonderful. Whitley D. Okay? But it's nothing compared to knowing God. You have to be in relationship with God. It's about knowing Him and having a simple trust in Him. Today, if you don't know Jesus, it's probably helpful to know that if you don't have a relation with Jesus, you can't expect Him to do the impossible in your life. But the good news is, at the end of the service today, I want to invite you to have that chance. We're going to invite you before Christmas, before this special season, to give your life to the Lord. But if you're a follower of Jesus, how can you expect anything less than He do the impossible in your life? I remember when I was a student at the University of Oregon, I took a few religion courses. There were courses taught by a rabbi, a priest, an imam. And these guys knew the Bible, they knew the Quran, they knew the Torah, the Talmud, the, whatever you want to fill in the blank there. They knew it all. But they didn't know God. They didn't have a relationship with God. You can know everything about every religion in this world, and if you don't know God, it's worthless. It's worthless. The second thing we see in this story with Mary is her willingness to surrender to God. Let's see how she responds to the angel's announcement. Verse 35, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month." I think about is awesome about this is that when God wants to do the impossible in your life, it's kind of hard to explain with words. I'm not sure exactly how I explain it, but He's there with you, present in the moment. So you kind of sense, I get the sense, hey, God's doing something here. God brings us encouragement along the way. If He wants us to believe, right now is Damascus Road. One of the things that we're believing for in the coming year is a new building that we can have all through the week. And I don't know, it's just a sense I think that we all have, Matt, Kent, and I, that God is going to do it and it's going to be awesome. You just get this sense of encouragement from God. And I love the fact that here, while the angel is giving Mary a very impossible announcement, he encourages her. He says, hey, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant, and you remember, she's pretty old. That must have encouraged Mary. In other words, God isn't about just trying to have us step out in faith and, it's like if my son and I are at the pool, we go to like Landall Green Park sometime, and he's on the side of the pool, and I say, jump to Papa, and then he jumps, and I move out of the way, and he belly flops. God's not like that. He's not a dad like that. He's going to encourage us along the way. I don't do that, by the way. I don't let my son belly flop. How many would agree that surrendering is tough? Surrendering is tough. If you're a parent of a toddler, I think about, we see this almost every day with Case. He's almost 3 years old, thinks he's almost 30. Most days he has a struggle to surrender. Some days he just doesn't want to wear pants. Okay? And we spend the longest time trying to convince our son, like, people in society don't run around without pants on. Usually. And you also can't wear your Elmo pajamas all day long. That's not real life. But he's 3 years old and he struggles to surrender. And I got news for you. At 38 years old, I struggle to surrender. Sometimes with my wife. Honey, I want to do this. No. I'm doing my thing. I'm watching sports. We'll watch that Dutch cooking channel some other time. It's boring. They have a Dutch cooking channel, by the way. She's pretty excited. You're excited about it, aren't you? Yeah. Zipporah likes it. Not for a guy, really, I don't think. You know, my son, other days, he just wants to eat cookies. You know, I don't want broccoli. I don't want Witloaf. But here's the news. I don't want it either. I ate a whole half a package of Oreos. Anybody know what Oreo cookies are? I have a craving for them. My wife got me a package, and while she was gone, I was watching Case. I almost ate the whole thing and blamed it on Case. Other times, he throws himself on the floor crying, kicking, screaming, you know, thinking we're the worst parents. Surrendering is tough. Aren't we like that with God? I'm going to be transparent for a minute. When I was single until I was 31, so basically I consider my single years the years where God, you know, was in that area was just, what are you doing, Lord? 18 to 31, okay? And I remember having times like a little toddler going, God, why? Why can't I get married? You know, you have a broken heart. Lord, why? Why didn't it work out? I mean, anybody ever been there? Okay, let's be honest, you know? Relationships hurt. Surrendering is tough. And every now and then you had a well-meaning Christian come up to you and go, well, maybe you're called to be single. Maybe it's a gift from God. I say, I don't want that gift. I want to exchange that gift for another one. Surrendering is tough. Here's the second point this morning. To see God do the impossible in your life, we have to surrender to His will. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? You know, I just think, oh, I'll surrender. Lord, whatever, I'll go to the Netherlands. Yeah, I'll go to the Netherlands. And then the other day, you know, I was riding the wind. I was riding on the Hogebrug on my three-wheel bike. And I have a three-wheel bike. And the wind was blowing me so hard, I started rolling backwards. It's a totally embarrassing. You know, I'm thinking there's going to be a camera, America's, you know, Holland's Funniest Home Videos. And I'm thinking, I surrendered for this? Wow. So even when you surrender, you've got to surrender again, you got to surrender again, you got to surrender again. Your whole walk with Jesus is just surrender. But Mary's response to God is absolutely amazing, isn't it? She has a heart to surrender. She says, yes, Lord, not only will I do it, but how can I help you accomplish your will in my life? And this morning, I'm absolutely convinced that God is speaking to every one of us. Surrender. Surrender. Let me have my perfect way in your life in the coming year. It's not what you want. Because here's the thing. If I didn't surrender to God, I would have no blessing that I have today. When I was single, if I would have said, I'm not surrendering anymore. I'm just going to pick some girl off online and call it good. I wouldn't have my beautiful wife today, Julie. You know, if I just stopped riding my bike, even though the wind was blowing me backward, I wouldn't be preaching here this morning. I would just call Matt and say, it's too tough. I can't ride my bike. You know, it's blowing me backwards. It's embarrassing. So can you preach on Sunday? I'm staying home. Life isn't like that. You won't receive blessings if you don't surrender. Surrendering, now listen to this. Surrendering will be the biggest fight of your life. Isn't that ironic? Surrendering will be the biggest fight of your life. The last thing I want to look at this morning. If you want to see God do the impossible in your life, I want to look at verses 46 through 55 of Luke chapter 1. After this amazing, miraculous pronouncement, Mary breaks into song. I believe that if God is truly God in your life and you're walking with Him, there'll be times in your life that you can't help but break into song. You can't help to shed tears. It was last week, my sister flew to China and she adopted a special needs child, has heart conditions. And I got the pictures in the email and Julie and I both cried. Because we saw God do something awesome. God do something impossible, that He would bring a family together that was separated by thousands of kilometers This girl was in an orphanage. We'd get pictures of her. Her fingers were blue sometimes because her heart wasn't pumping blood right, and they have to get her back to the States and get an immediate heart surgery. She would have died. She would have died. And I Skyped with them yesterday, and we cry. We see this new family member. You're going to break out into song or tears sometimes. And if you don't have that sensitivity to God, and if you've never done that, I want to encourage you. Seek God for intimate relationship with Him, because that's when it's special. You remember those times. She says in verse 46, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He took notice of His lowly servant girl. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped His servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For He made His promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." God is faithful, amen? If was Sol going to play? Whoever's coming up to play music, come on up now. Last thing I think we need to see here, the last point today is this. To see God do the impossible in our lives, we need to be able to receive His grace. His grace. And you may be saying, what is His grace? I hear that word all the time. It just means unmerited favor. You get what you don't deserve. Aren't you glad for that this morning? His love for us makes the impossible possible. You know, first point we saw that we have to trust God no matter what. Even if an angel appears to you and says, you're going to have a baby. Or your impossibility. You got to trust God. That's the first step. And then you have to surrender and say, go one step further and say, more than trust You, I have to walk this out with You. But here's what I think is the best news of all. Is that God is so good that He pours His grace out on us, His unmerited favor, and He says, look, Steve, it's not because of you. I love you, but it's not what you bring to the table, but it's what I bring to the table. And this morning, maybe you don't feel worthy. Maybe you feel like you've failed. Maybe you've been bound in sin all week. Maybe you said some harsh words to your significant other this morning. But here's the good news. If we simply come to God, if we draw near to God, He draws near to us. All we have to do is come to God this morning. So I'm going to ask you this morning, and I've asked Matt and Pora and Julie to come up and pray for people, and I'm going to pray for people. But here's the thing. I want to see God do the impossible in our lives. I want to see Him break through and do some special things, not only this Christmas season, but in 2012. I want to see more Buddhists come to Christ. I want to see atheists come to Christ. I want to see us move into a building. I want to see healings. And I want to see people get jobs. And people get married. So if there's an impossible situation in your life today, I'm going to ask you to step forward, to take a chance on God. Because God loves you. He's poured His unmerited favor, His grace out on your life. This is a moment to receive. So Matt, Zipporah, Julie, you could just play some music. That's good. We're going to pray for you guys. And you know what? Matt and Zipporah, Julie, it doesn't even have to be a super long prayer. God can do it. God can do it. God is a supernatural God. So come forward. If you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life, I'll tell you what, just make the step forward and He'll do it. He'll do it. I'm living testimony of that. Amen.